Welcome to VMN Volume 3, Episode 25. The date is November 10th, 2023. VMN is produced and transmitted from unceded Abenaki territory of so-called Vermont. Today we'll be talking with the Epona Rose, who's a trans woman shielded war, who was arrested in Flagstaff / occupied Kinlani for defending herself from a group of men who assaulted her and threatened to rape her. Her case is just one of many where trans people are prosecuted for defending themselves, where a cis person would most likely not be charged. I have to apologize. In this episode, the sound quality got trashed by bad settings on my part, so stand by. It is important information. Welcome, Epona.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You are always welcome. Could you tell me what brought you out to Flagstaff this time?
Sure. Well, with the aggression on trans lives that has been amped up, and we haven't seen this sort of violence against queer lives since probably the 80s, and it's even worse. There's legislation and all the bills. There are families that are fleeing certain fascist states, trying to find better lives for even their babies or kids. I have taken the initiative to start a grassroots effort for trans evacs. A small ragtag team has been building waypoints and safe houses, and I take notes from one of my heroes, Harriet Tubman. And I'm just learning a better way to survive as a woman of trans experience. I refuse to call myself trans woman these days. I now, because of the other language and the polarized ways of existing, I call myself a woman of trans experience. I came here to occupied Flagstaff, Kinlani territory, to talk with relatives and friends and MMIR and MMIW representatives to possibly build safe houses from Texas to get to California is a possibility. When I arrived here is when the attack happened.
I don't know if you want to talk about the circumstances of what happened, but to me, knowing the case, it almost seemed like a country song. I mean, your car broke down.
Oh, jeez.
It could be a sad song. Can you say a little bit about that, or do you want to just hold that out?
Oh, sure. I will say, because there needs to be awareness around the dangers of my line of work, and coming from what is so-called the Dakotas, I was on Rosebud Reservation meeting a friend there to escort me some ways for my safety to deliver messages. We were stopped by two white trucks all the way to about Wolf Creek Pass in Colorado, right outside Durango, Ignacio Reds. My truck had broken down there, and I left it with trusted folks of water protector communities for it to be safe, but I still had to keep going to get to Flagstaff. So I packed a basic rucksack, a bug-out bag. I slapped my ballistic vest on me, and I kept going. When I arrived here, I experienced a certain purgatory of waiting. Here I am without a truck. My partner was far away from me, and so it is a country song because my partner and my dog. So hopefully I get my truck, my dog, my baby back, you know? That'd be great if you just play the song backwards, right? But yeah, that's just a small snippet of the voyage when I was coming this way from the Rust Belt.
Yeah, and then it becomes like the Sloop John B. You get into a fight and end up in jail.
Oh, no doubt. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Ay, ay, ay. It's been difficult. It's been hard.
So are you able to talk a little bit more about the circumstances of your arrest in Flag?
Sure. I'm willing to go into graphic detail, if that is okay with you, on your podcast, because I need people to understand the severity of what had happened. In my arrival, there was that waiting purgatory, you know, just waiting my contact's availability. So I decided to hang out in the square. And there in the square, I saw, you know, a group of homeless people. And in my life, I have been on the road since, you know, I was a teenager. So to me, it's just like, okay, homeless community. I could probably just hang out and blend in right here. I'm just a bum, right? Kind of have that approach. But more so, I'm an anarchist and a full-time land defender. It's the unseen work. I waited there, and these men were welcoming at first. They said, sure, you could sit with us. I sat at a gazebo with them. Everything was fine. Jokes were exchanged, laughing, just having a good time. Drank a beer. The man next to me started caressing up my thigh. And he said to me these exact words. He said, let me know if I'm doing something that you disagree with or are uncomfortable with. I told him that that's not how you ask for permission. He then reached to my genitalia. And I don't mind talking about this. I usually keep that pretty disclosed. If you're not my partner and you're not my physician, that's none of your business. However, I'm on Channel 12 News, and it's all been blasted everywhere, what's in my pants, my dead name, and everything. I have been clocked and doxxed on a mass level. All the Southwest knows. So, I was close to surgery. I poured all that surgery money into TransEvax, so that you know my story and where I'm at. It's still hard to talk about, but I know the necessity of it, so... In reaching for my genitalia, I started screaming, I'm not a real woman, I'm not a real woman. Two of the other men started getting angry, and I explained to them what transgender is, and explained to them that we're born this way, and I'm getting treatment. To the patriarchal eye, I don't like this toxic language, and I don't abide by it, but to my direct enemy, the patriarchy, I guess one would say that I am passing by appearance, whatever the hell passing means. You know, it's something they put on us, ladies. I want anybody who's listening who happens to be of trans experience to know that if you suffer from dysphoria, know that you are beautiful enough, you are handsome enough, you are strong enough, you are genderqueer enough, you are androgynous enough to be exactly who you are and to be empowered in the face of the patriarchal colonial construct. Back to that night, they were getting aggressive with me. And leaving my truck on the res to go through large stretches of desert, I had a can of Frontierman bear mace. I thought that would be more used on an aggressive trucker or a wild animal, but here I am using it on a group of men. I sprayed my attackers down and placed one in a chokehold, and I told the other two to back off me. The cops were then called, and the cops didn't really ask me much question, even though I said that they tried to rape me and I was attacked. The police report is not very accurate and is chock full of transphobic language. They took me to jail, and when I went into booking, though my ID clearly states my sex is female, I was strip searched by a male officer and forced to give up my bra into his hands. My chest being exposed and being butt-ass naked. During the campaigns, I haven't had time to process this trauma, and I know my responsibilities as Shield at War. The enemy doesn't stop, so we don't. From there, they Officer 72 of Flagstaff Police Department had placed the ridiculous charge of attempted homicide and three charges of aggravated assault, all felonies. My bail was initially posted for $500,000. And just to put reference on that, that's twice and a half more than Trump's insurrection for defending myself from rape and murder. Because I refuse to be another demographic, another trans lady just dead on the sidewalk, homeless trans lady. She's probably some prostitute. Well, shit happens. By the way, to the sex workers out there, you are brave. You're strong. And that's what happened that night. I was placed in a male side of the facility and cut off my hormones for nearly 2 weeks of the month that I was in.
How are the medical professionals? Did they follow their oath to do no harm? Did they help?
No.
No harm or care for you?
Oh, no, they increased the harm. The head of nurse, and I failed to remember her name, was walking past my cell, and I said, I need my hormones. It was in my purse and was stolen. I have taken that every day for a few years now. I need it. For those who need to that don't understand what HRT does to our bodies, it aligns our bodies and gives us proper medical treatment to address what the pituitary gland demands for my body, estrogen. And when my hormones are mostly testosterone, my brain does not compute. My brain demands the proper estrogen of what I could have been born with were I born cisgendered woman, or assigned woman, if you prefer the language. That nurse, the head nurse, said, oh, well, that's not a very vital medication. And I said, yes, it is. It could cause blood clots if I don't get it. It could cause serious damage mentally. And since my body is at a certain point where I don't produce testosterone as a man would, my body is dependent on that. I no longer have the hormones. You see, hormones and pheromones is how we navigate our world. Everywhere from smelling a flower to petting a dog to kissing your partner. This is how we navigate our world. So if I have little or to nothing of hormones in my body, I am a husk, I am blank, I am suffering. I asked her when she said it's not a vital medication. I said, is this a state like Texas or Florida? What do you mean it's not vital? Yes, it is. She then responded with glee and a huge smile on her face. Yes, Arizona's just like that, and I'm proud of it, and walks away. The head nurse is a TERF. A TERF is a trans-exclusionary radical feminist. Again, I am a woman of trans experience. So no, they increased harm.
Do you know this officer's name, or is there some reason you're withholding the name?
She is a woman, and I still seek to get that name. Once my charges are dropped, I plan to start a campaign of lawsuit on the jail, on my arresting officer. They also held me in isolation for a while. And in that isolation cell of some jails I've been incarcerated before, calls it the stupid box. It's called that because it's for misbehaving. They placed me in there, and they said it's for my own good and for my own protection. I was in a dark room and didn't have access to what other inmates had access to, such as rec time, TV, books, or what has you, for some time. I was in, I felt very much like Harry Potter under the stair steps, you know, in just this dark little closet room. It was very much like that.
They say for activists, suing for unjust arrest is like our retirement plans. So many activists have spent their lives fighting for social justice, and their retirement ended up suing the state for abusing them.
You know, that might be true for some abolitionists and activists. As for me, I have responsibility to my communities in fighting with land back issues. And this is still occupied land, so I know exactly where that money will be going.
Yep. We give away what we can.
Yes.
So can you talk about the fight backs you've been involved in? The rallies and stuff like that? How many rallies have there been so far in Kinlani?
Well, while I was in jail, there was a rally and a vigil, two separate ones, to demand my release. When I was released to the rally that was gathered that day, there was supporters that wanted to know what our next moves are. There was a smaller rally that was only a handful of five people. Those five people, thank you so much for showing up. One of them was my sister, Vistani, and the other three were other women of trans experience, naturally. And then there was me. We still gathered. My court was pushed forward, and it was a court rally. But at the last minute, they pushed my court to a different date.
Have you got a new date yet?
I do in December, but the rally before, that was just a few days ago, 10 times the amount. We had nearly 50 people. And at that rally, there was 50 people that gathered at the courthouse. We then marched to the square where violence was inflicted on me, and I told them exactly what went down and what had happened step by step in front of 50 people. I told them, thank you for joining me while I process this trauma, because I have not visited the square since my release. From there, with a lot of rage and a lot of love and a lot of radical solidarity, we marched to the mayor's office and occupied the lobby. 50 people screaming, trans liberation, no negotiation. 50 people screaming, fight like a girl. 50 people screaming, drop the charges. So yes, it was much more beautiful, and I know that, you know, we have the right way on our side. You know, the way is on our side, for it to 10 times the amount all of a sudden. And there will be more rallies. They pushed it to December, and I would not be surprised if they pushed it again. My case is not an Epona Rose issue. This is a trans liberation issue. If they get away with slapping these charges on me, or if I fight and fail and then they put me in a male prison's facility, this sets a precedence to what they can do to all trans, two-spirit, and queer lives. So it's very serious. It's not just for my freedom, but for all of our liberation right now.
At this point, I expressed my disgust about the so-called justice prosecutors that claim to be better than your standard law and order prosecutors while picking and choosing their cases. Often, these so-called justice prosecutors come down very hard on people who defend themselves on the streets. And I also said some stories about the local justice prosecutor in Burlington, Vermont, who seems to want to ingratiate herself to me. I don't know why, but she always does. But there were some stories about Jonathan Mosher kind of giving a sweetheart deal to a cop. He said the cop had enough punishment that more would be too much, but he seemed to feel that cops should not be held to account very strongly when they hurt or kill people. That's what it seemed. I don't have much good to say about these justice prosecutors.
Yes. Well, I recognize the enemy for what it is. And like I said before, it's the colonial patriarchal complex. You know, this is a vicious beast. We could call it the Leviathan. That's a common anarcho lingo for it. And if you ever read it, it's Against History, Against Leviathan, and it's a brilliant read. And I like to understand this occupation, because it is. It's stolen land, it's occupation, and it is inflicted violence on the mother itself, as well as women or people who threaten this colonial patriarchal complex. And I am proud to say that I am a threat, and they know it.
You've been involved in a lot of water protector actions. Can you talk about those? Because I think they're linked in a lot of ways to what's happened here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with pipelines and mining, for example, of the colonial patriarchal complex, we have man camps where they take away women and two-spirit people all the time. I understand that if this land was placed back into responsible hands where it belongs, there's medicines and creation stories that recognize me as a woman, no problem, and respect what that means. There are nations. I've been fighting for some years now, since before Standing Rock, in land defense issues, against mining, pipelines, border disputes, island occupations. Yeah, it's part of the responsibilities, you know, is to return land back. My heritage is Irish, Basque, and a part of my heritage is Hadasta Crow. So, though I have the settler passing privilege, and I know how I was raised as a settler that benefited off of stolen land, I definitely want to honor those ties of an ancestor that wasn't heard, and also respect my relatives, and know exactly that this was stolen. Before the occupation, I understand that there was like whole types of gender expressions, and it was respected. It wasn't something that was called LGBTQ community, and it wasn't something to be voted about, and it wasn't something that was like some kind of craze and somebody getting angry at Bud Light or anything. You know, all these concepts of where we've lost where gender medicine is something that I am trying to navigate and decolonize for myself as a woman, as a warrior. And I guess you said, I'm getting lost in the weeds. You said you want to hear a little bit more about land defense and water protection. I have been brought into Goka ceremony in Ojibwe territory as woman warrior. I'm thankful to Goka relatives to bring me in. And I have risked my life for the sacred Monomen, the rice beds on No Line 3. I have done supply drops for No Dapple. I have served on Hopi Dene border disputes when there was still lingering Relocation Act violence. And I've also served up in Salish tribes with Grace Point occupation and blockading an island to keep a lobbyist for what's happening in Wet'suwet'en territory right now, for a lobbyist of that pipeline to build a mansion on an island that was used for burial and ceremony. It's no question in my mind that they aggress the mother. They train us to commodify the earth, which often I call the mother, or we understand as the mother, or our relations and connection with it. When they do that along with it, it is no coincidence that the patriarchy also suppressed womanhood. Because we women are aligned with certain things, particularly those who carry a uterus, no matter how your gender is defined, you are aligned with the moon and the rhythms of the ocean. You know, it's a connection. So for this conquering patriarchal force, of course they're going to suppress and try to silence. They're going to conquer. They're going to occupy in the most aggressive, disgusting ways.
Yeah, I'm in northern Vermont. When we moved here a bit more than 10 years ago, the ditches were lined with lupine flowers. There were beautiful rocks on the sides of the roads. And then for some reason, the state of Vermont has decided to widen the roads. Now, these are little itty-bitty dirt roads that nobody should be driving fast on. So they take these machines and they scoop out the ditches and put in big gravel where the plants had lived for decades. Then they bush hog the grass and the weeds and chew up the rocks with the blades. It breaks my heart. The least I can do is move these rocks and boulders out of the way of those blades. I mean, most people don't think anything about a rock, but when you go by the same rock for 10 years on your walk, and then you see it torn up by bush hog blades, it kind of upsets you. The mentality of the state, tearing out these beautiful plants and destroying the rocks without even thinking about it. It's a small thing, but the sheer thoughtlessness of this action just boggles my mind.
Right, one should call it rape.
At this point, I asked Ipona to describe the trans refugee project that she is trying to set up.
Right now, it's a very grassroots guerrilla effort, but I am kind of bringing it out of shadow a little bit. I've always practiced, you know, the ways of the invisible committee, as it were, you know, the unseen, when it comes to fighting this occupation and this fascist regime, right? However, recent events has smeared my face all over the place. So I don't mind talking about the very need. I can talk about the need and the why, but I will not tell location or what's or where safe houses are. Know that people are fleeing right now. There are militia groups that are radicalized on some sort of trans panic. Everybody's just like, oh no, they're trying to indoctrinate our kids, or these drag queens are at story hour, or whatever the heck, that did not matter as much a few years ago, and then suddenly there's a moral panic. Now, moral panic has been used as a tactic for politicians forever. It is anywhere from, look out for the quote-unquote savage, they're after our women and children. Look out for the freed black slave. They're after our women and children. You know, now it's trans. You know, it was the gays in the 80s, and like, oh my God, every gay person has AIDS, and if they just happen to be a waiter or a waitress and put a plate up there, don't eat it because you might catch AIDS. You know, like this nonsensical ideas that people rally behind. And it's these Christian conservative terrorists that believe that it's their God-given right and their American right to do so. They're just trying to make America great, don't you know? Everybody just wants to make America great, right? So yes, everybody backs up behind that. And there is an extreme marginalization. Just in 2023, we saw triple the bills since the time before 2016 to now. We saw three times in just 1 year the amount of bills that has been passed. A lot of that cuts off health care. Right now in Tennessee, it's illegal to do drag or be in drag, which is loose language that applies to some ladies like me, or to our trans brothers, or to our non-binary cousins and two-spirit cousins. You know, like this language. You know, like it's like Stonewall. You have to wear an article of clothing. If you don't have that article of clothing of the gender that they deem you as, you are punishable by law. In Tennessee right now, along with that, you have fascist right-wing groups that are lugging assault rifles and ready to kill the next so-called tranny they see. You know, it's very scary. We try to get people through to refuge states. A refuge state is a state where they do not recognize any trans bills coming to their desk in Congress, cabinet, or what has you, the legislative process. When a bill comes to a refuge state's desk, they say, get that out of my office. The reason why is because it protects our lives. To arm people with the ability to vote, our lives should not be voted about. Whether I live or die, or the way I exist and live as my true self as a woman, should never be voted about. And you have these babies. I can't tell you how much trauma I would have avoided had I had the proper medication during my first puberty. I would have had such more of a happy life as the full woman that I am. I wouldn't go through nearly the struggles that I've been through. You know, not nearly half the struggles I've been through. So what we do is we low-key try to get folks to their needs where they could get health care. In the meantime, we have networks attempting to stockpile hormonal needs, whether that be testosterone or estrogen. I'm being very loud about this right now. In some states, testosterone is deemed as a narcotic, basically. You know,
federally, it's a controlled substance.
Right. It's very difficult. So we have medical teams that are trying to do it the proper way with testosterone. But the idea is to stockpile safe houses while people pass through. We have waypoints, which waypoints are houses or locations that have a 3-day rule, and then they move on to the next location. In activating waypoints, that's in what I deem as fascist territory. We look at fascist territory as opposed to friendly territory. That's where we're at right now. People talk about civil wars around the corner. Baby, you're already in it. It's already here. If safe places are being shot up, or counter violence of schools being shot up because there is somebody who is pushed to their limit by being trans, and I don't advocate those actions of that shooter in Tennessee. I am just saying that, yes, we are at war.
The siege and war on Gaza made me think of this. Whenever there is some sort of bigotry, it spreads. There is a concept called free-floating hatred. The people who are hating on Palestinians are also hating on us. There was a trans person who got dogpiled for supporting Palestinian lives. The right made his trans status a big issue. Likewise, in Vermont, the local right-wing cesspool of a website had an article about the war on Gaza, and it put pride flags in the header of the article, even though LGBT people had nothing to do with the topic of the article. It's important to understand that all of these hatreds are linked in the minds of the far right. There are actual fascists in the UK lining up with the State of Israel now because they hate Palestinians more than they hate Jews. When the war is over, I expect them to go back to their normal anti-Semitic ways.
The colonial patriarchal complex is not unique to occupied Turtle Island, what is called the United States. It is not unique to here. This is a sickness and a global takeover, you know, that we have seen since far before feudal times. You know, it can't be just talked about in just one sense of the light, you know, of just like, okay, that's just happening to trans people, or that's just happening to indigenous people. And by the way, indigenous people are resisting everywhere. Free Palestine. And yeah, it's an ongoing conflict. The war is not so much just what's happening in your backyard. It is a global issue right now. Meanwhile, there's been awesome solidarity efforts with Palestine rallies here in occupied Kinlani, and there was a good turnout. You know, we need to pump awareness. We need to take more direct action around these things. Remember that your votes or just sitting in a room in a state office to demand a ceasefire isn't always the solution. How do you fight fire with fire? If you behave by their practices, if you vote for trans lives, does it actually really affect it if you're behaving with the occupation and the fascist regime? No, it doesn't. These methods, you're using the master tools. Audre Lorde has a great lecture of using the master's tools that is given to us. You cannot fight the master with the master's tools. He created them. So we should keep that in mind with standing in solidarity with our Palestinian relatives.
I've been inspired by the campaign on the West Coast to stop a ship full of apparent munitions being shipped to Israel for the war on Gaza. This campaign reminded me of a similar one during the Arab Spring when there was a blockade of a company near Pittsburgh that manufactured the tear gas cartridges that were being used on protesters against the brutal monarchy in Bahrain. I expect the same arms are being used on Palestinians when the IDF is not using live ammo.
As I said before, patriarchal colonial complex is everywhere. It's a huge monster. Sure. I just want to say real quick, just to wrap it up, trans liberation, no negotiation. I need my charges dropped so I could keep working to do the good work. I am also not safe. I have been doxxed on a mass level when the news leaked out my dead name, my genitalia, and my location. I need people to be very aware of my safety. I am currently in a safe house right now. My truck is broken down. I'm trying to make efforts right now with my lawyer to have a conditional leave from the state. But in the meantime, I need to continue with this legal fight. And it's not just for, this is not an Impona Rose issue. This is a trans liberation issue. If they get away with this, this is a playbook. This is a practice run to see if this will work okay on how to silence us. And we will not go silently. So please understand that I'm holding down here, and I appreciate everybody's awareness and solidarity, and black flag and land back. Yeah, white fascists. You know, I know we're wrapping this up. I know, I apologize. The doxing started with a caseworker inside the jail, you know, which is a mental health caseworker that wanted to check in on my mental health because, oh my God, they care so much about trans people. Anyway, just talked with me a bit and then wound up saying some ridiculous crap on me and putting my name out there. And yeah, right now I am trapped in a very aggressive border town. To explain what a border town is, Flagstaff was a settlement fort. They've had the practice since day one when they invaded Kinlani and Dineta and Hopi and all the neighboring tribes here to sort of give a neutralized silent temperature to the native pre-existing nations here. Now you see that decades later where there is a sort of neutralized temperature here. As I pass through this, I need more awareness, and I need warriors. I need physical warriors here.
Excellent. And to keep up with the Pona Rose's campaign, Check https://freeeponarose.org. And I will mention that the website has been coming under hacking attacks for some reason.
Thank you so much.
If you like this podcast, please consider sharing and liking it on your social media. Reviews help drive the algorithms that basically run the internet world. So please, if you have the time, leave a review on your podcast aggregator. Reviews on Apple and Google help a lot, so if you are willing to deal with those companies, and only if you are willing to deal with those companies, leave reviews. Otherwise, tell your friends about the podcast. This was VMN Volume 3, Episode 25. VMN was formerly known as Vermont Movement News and can be found on podcast apps as Vermont Movement News.